Today we're talking books on the Monocle Arts Review, and on hand to pick some highlights from the week's literary releases is Kathy Rentzenbrink, writer and contributing editor to The Bookseller. On the show today, we'll discuss three different novels that portray Britain in different periods. One from post-war, then a comic novel set in rural 1970s England, and finally an adoption story set in the 80s. That's all to come on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. Stay tuned. Our first book today is Paradise Lodge by Nina Stibbe. It's the follow-up to Stibbe's debut novel, Man at the Helm, and the main character, Lizzie Vogel, a 16-year-old girl, is back, this time finding herself working in an old people's home in the 1970s. Kathy, before we talk about Paradise Lodge, let's talk about Man at the Helm, Nina Stibbe's debut novel. Did the debut really warrant a follow-up?
Oh, yes, definitely. I've been gagging for the follow-up since reading the first one. And now, having read the second one, I'm desperate for a third. And of course, it's all interesting because Nina Stibbe is the author of Love, Nina, a set of letters that she wrote to her sister when she was a nanny. And these novels, her two novels, are very autobiographical. So in a way, it's filling in the earlier story of the Love, Nina letters. And Love, Nina's on the telly in the UK at the moment. So
yes,
becoming ever huger and bigger.
So Love, Nina has been adapted by Nick Hornby.
Yeah,
who actually, in his the column that he does in The Believer about books he's read and books he's bought, he talked about being sent Love, Nina by his publisher, by his agent or publisher, and going, I've no idea why they've sent this to me. This doesn't look like my sort of thing. And yet he absolutely loved it. He devoured it and has obviously now done the adaptation. Is there something about her writing that's... Is that great?
Yeah, I think she's just a complete original, just an absolute natural, really quirky, iconoclastic look at the world. So pretty much every sentence is a joy, whether it's in the letters and the novels. Just an odd sideways way of looking at the world. I find it endlessly entrancing. I would read anything she wrote. She does bits of journalism as well, and they're always... just sort of wonderful. Now, often she just takes you in a different direction that you weren't expecting. And there's a huge naughtiness continually at play. At whatever age the character is, you always feel kind of rebellion and peculiarity is never far from the surface. And again, I think one of the things that's so appealing is there's always this sense of being an outsider. So in the letters, the real Nina writing letters to her sister has moved into literary London and is sort of doesn't quite know what to do with all these posh people and Alan Bennett popping over. And
it would confuse you, wouldn't it?
Exactly. More people eat his salad than hers, but she thinks it's because he's Alan Bennett and she's just a nanny, you know. But it's equally the same in the novels. We see Lizzie Vogel as a little girl whose parents have split up in the 70s. In the countryside in the UK in the 70s, people weren't very kind to the mothers of, to divorced mothers, attractive divorced mothers. So her mother is a bit of a menace in the first book. And then in this book, Paradise Lodge, she gets a job at an old people's home because she wants something to do, and becoming a punk seems like a bit too much of a commitment.
You mentioned how the single women with children were treated in the 70s by other parts of society. What does this novel tell us about 1970s Britain?
Well, it's very sweet in lots of ways. It's quite an affectionate remembrance, even from things like her hourly rate is 35 pence, you know, and she can virtually live on that. And she wants this money so that she can afford to buy Linco beer shampoo rather than have to have a share in the family Vosine. So it's quite a sweet... quite a sweet portrayal, and it is very funny. And again, often I found myself laughing, really not quite sure whether I should. That sort of slightly naughty, shocked laughter. A lot of the action of the novel comes because there is a rival nursing home that have a sort of an organised plan of events, and
it's
everybody's
not quite
worried
the
that the
Bloods versus the Crips. It's not.
Well, no, but you know, it all gets very feisty.
Okay. Fair enough. Feisty old people's homes. Okay, that's Paradise Lodge by Nina Stibbe. It's published by Viking. Out next month, but I'm sure you can order it online or, you know, go to your local bookshop and ask them to keep it on hold for you. Let's move on. My Name is Leon by Kit Duval. It's had a bit of a billing, this, hasn't it? It's been talked up somewhat.
Well, all the talk up is deserving, I must say. I've probably been one of the ones doing the talking up. I think this is a brilliant novel, and I think it will be... it's so difficult to tell with books, and it's always I always feel nervous every time I say, you know, this is sure to be really successful. We will be talking about this book for years to come. We will be talking about this author for years to come.
Oh no, 250 people bought it.
But if I ever said that about anything, I would say it about this book.
Really?
Yeah, because I think the book is exceptional, and I think the author is exceptional.
So let's start with the author. Who is Kit Duval?
So her background is in... She's worked as a magistrate. She sat on adoption panels, all of which is relevant to this book. She is herself the daughter of... She's mixed race. Again, grew up in the Midlands in a world that in some ways seems far away. And she just has a sort of a... one of the things she did with her advance was she created a scholarship so that someone from a diverse background who wouldn't have otherwise have the opportunities could go and do a creative writing course.
Wow.
And I just love that. I mean, aren't you just really glad that woman exists? She's just a brilliant human being.
How does she pay her rent?
Well, who knows? But I think the fact that you would do, because books are so uncertain, the fact that you would spend your advance on anything other than squirreling it away to save you from doing menial work on the future is pretty exceptional. And I just love the fact that she's done this at this point in her career.
And the novel itself, My Name is Leon.
Yes, absolutely brilliant. Again, I kind of slightly feel I shouldn't say how exceptional the author is in case people think that's why I like the book, which is nothing to do with why I like the book. The book really works as a novel. It's set in the 1980s. Again, really interesting time because it was the royal wedding. Charles and Diana were getting married. So we probably, those of us that are old enough, will remember the bunting and the hysteria around that. But also a time of race riots. So in this situation, Leon is nearly nine. His mother is struggling to cope with him and his new baby brother. The baby brother's called Jake. And so other grown-ups get involved and it becomes clear that the boys are going to be sent to live with strangers. But the problem is that Jake is an all-white baby, so therefore a hot property on the adoption market, and Leon is a mixed-race boy. So he won't ever be adopted. He'll be farmed out to foster care. And the interesting thing about this book is that whilst it completely works as a novel, the fictional characters are fully realised. It's just also a real situation. And I did interview the author recently. And she said lots of people say to her, oh, but this might have happened in the 80s, but it wouldn't happen now. And she said, it'll be happening now all the time. And siblings are, and as she says, because she sits on adoption panels, she's made the decision herself to split siblings up because it's the only way to house them. So I just think that backdrop to it is so exceptional. But the novel itself is not actually at all gloomy. It's not a particularly difficult read. The character Leon is such a wonderful, sort of delightful little boy taking all these cares on his shoulders because he's kind of been the carer that's been looking after his mum as she sort of collapses. It's a kind book, I think, for just full of humanity.
Okay. So one you would, without doubt, recommend.
I would. And it's kind of, you know, again, there's fun nostalgic bits in it like curly whirlies and, you know, bikes and having fun in the 80s.
You can still get curly whirlies now, apparently.
Do you know, I am very partial to a curly whirly.
I can't quite work out, though, whether they've got smaller or my hands have got bigger.
That says everything, doesn't it? In fact, there's a sweets theme because there's quite a lot in there's a lot of stuff in Paradise Lodge as well that will make you want to go and test out 70s brands and see if they're still as good as they used to be.
I'm less fussed about 70s. that was actually literally just before my time, so I don't mind about that at all. Okay, My Name is Leon. It's out now, published by Penguin Viking. Do get it. So let's move on. Final book, Devotion by Louisa Young. So we're going to head back a little bit. We've done the 70s and the 80s. This new book is set in the interwar period, just before the Second World War. Tell us about Devotion.
So Devotion is the third in a novel sequence that started with My Dear, I Wanted to Tell You. And that first book was set in the immediate aftermath of the First World War, with all the characters struggling to come to terms with the various scars, often literal and huge disfiguring scars that they bore from the First World War. Of course, what none of those characters realised was that when they did get over that enough to have children, that their children would end up being at risk from yet another war. I was explaining to my little boy the other day that the First World War wasn't called the First World War until there was a Second World War. It was called the Great War. And he, again, as six-year-olds do, asked me lots of questions about why, if the First World War was so awful, did we have another one so soon? And I said, that's a very good question.
It's
who knows the answer?
Question.
And that really is the sort of ironic undertone to devotion. We saw these characters getting over the First World War, and now we're seeing a situation in which their children are going to be kind of at play and at risk. So it's set during that murky time of the 30s. Mm. And again, I think this really works in the novel, where we, the reader, have this knowledge that this period of unease is not going to get better.
We know what's happening
next.
Yeah.
next, but the characters don't know what's happening next. And I think that tension works really well. Quite a lot of it is set in Italy, because there's a cousin, Nena, who lives in Italy, and her father is both a great supporter of Mussolini and is Jewish. So again,
which is an unusual mix.
Well, apparently not so much at the time. Of course, that seems incredible. But in, I'm probably going to muddle up the years now, I think in maybe 1934, 1935, that wasn't an unreasonable thing to be. And again, a really heartbreaking bit of the novel is we see the pressure that this Italian Jewish fascist family is under as Nena's father very reluctantly is dragged to realise that his passion for Il Duce is not in any way returned or reciprocated.
And how does it compare to the previous two in the series?
It's richer and deeper, I think, probably because there's more characters in play. I think the whole series is brilliant. And again, it ends in such a way that it does make you rather hope for a fourth book, which I'll hope there be, possibly a fifth. So I don't feel it's a complete trilogy. I think this may be a sequence. And as such, I just, again, long for more and more and more of them. It's a really wonderful novel.
Perfect. Devotion by Louisa Young. That's also out now, published by HarperCollins. And that's it. Cathy Rensenbrink, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow to talk film, but for now, it's goodbye from me, and thanks very much for listening.